What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the after show for Godfriend and Me. This is season one, episode 17, The Dragon Slayer. So we have Ben Evans, which is the new friend request. We have some little words from the editor-in-chief. And is the bishop reluctant to take his place? Let's find out.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
AfterBuzz TV. Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's Jamie Alexander, your host in the building, and we are here talking the after show for Godfriend and Me, but of course I couldn't do it without my panel, and we were here in full effect.
Yeah.
So let's introduce ourselves. The whole squad is here. What's up?
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina Wahab.
Your favorite Afro-Latina, Franceli.
And last but not least, Rochelle Pollard.
Love it when we are all here. So we are doing the after show for season one, episode 17, Godfriended Me. We are in the building. So we have a new friend request. We also have some words from the editor-in-chief, and we've got Miles and Kara moving on in their careers. And we also have the bishop a little hesitant to step his toe all the way into bishopness, if that is a word. We're making it up here now. But we also want you guys to stick around for our special segment, God Speaks, where we find out where God has spoken to us during the course of the week through social media, and we're just ready to have some fun here. So let's jump right into the episode and talk about what we feel about the episode as a whole. What do you guys think about the Dragon Slayer? Any words about the whole episode, you know, just the overall? What do you think, Mina?
I felt like, I don't know, it reminded me a little bit of The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, the relationship between father and son. And we usually don't see that dynamic. We see mother and son dynamics.
Right.
We don't often see a father struggling with his son. And Franceli was saying something behind the scenes about how, and I never knew this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I love the episode. It was so dynamic, so powerful, heartwarming, as the show always is, but we talked about this, that it was on a whole other level tonight. And the reality is that when people are homeless or need, you know, are in transition of finding a place, there are so many shelters for women and women and children, but the shelters are for men only. So if you are a single father, you kind of have nowhere to go. And I think that that was really powerful to really, like, discuss that part. Just like men had to fight for there to be, like, diaper racks or not diaper changing stations in the bathrooms, because people just assume, oh, only women do this, as if men don't take care. And God bless. I know an actor whose wife passed away and he was left with three kids on his own, you know? So there's so many stories, and I don't think we give enough credit to the fathers. So shout out to the God Friend of Me writers for doing an incredible job of honoring good fathers who raise their children.
Amen.
Absolutely. I loved it. It was definitely a tearjerker. I'm not sure if you guys tear, but I definitely was in my feelings. And it just reminded me of that bond that I have with my mother as well. When things get tough, we kind of like, I mean, we don't necessarily say we have a castle or something, but we believe that God has something better and he won't give us anything that we cannot handle. Everything is to serve us in our purpose. So when he was having that connection with his son, and you know, they kind of hit that, they both know what the reality is, but we're going to look forward because we're not going to sit here and just ponder in what we're going in our reality. It just really touched me, because I'm just like, wow, this is what me and my mother and my sister do all the time. When things get hard, we're just like, you know what, God has something better, and we just look towards the positive instead of mending in reality, because reality would kick your butt. But such a great show. Definitely one of my top three out of the 20
whole season. Same. Wow. It was one of the strongest ones.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. I love it too, exactly for the same dynamic. And that's what, I don't have kids, but I love that about kids, is because it gives you a moment to kind of step outside of yourself. Wow. And sure, we can't, no, is my apartment a castle? My studio apartment that I think is amazing, great, but can I see it through the eyes of a child who is hopeful and trying and moving through hard times, but still has the imagination without all of what gets tainted by what happens in adulthood?
Wow.
So I really love seeing that, and them being excited for just something so small, you know, and whatnot. It just reminds me of the bond between parents and kids, but the seeing life through the eyes of children, which is something that I love to do as often as I can, even though I don't have kids, but you know what I mean?
Kids are
brilliant with that. So the Dragon Slayer, we got to slay these dragons, because that is real life. That is adulting. Adulting feels like slaying dragons.
Yes. There's a lot of dragons that'll come into your life. That's life, the fire. You're put through the fire, you know? But in the fire, that's how the diamonds get made. So.
Ooh.
That's very true.
Okay, that pressure.
Right. So while we're ducking and dodging, sometimes we got to get burned.
Okay.
Which is what we're going to find out in this episode.
I love that. That's really good.
So we're going to let it burn up in here. So let's talk about this new friend request. Ben Evans, a very good father. They lost the mother early on. He's raising his son, and he's doing the best he can, and things happen. This, again, we're back to old school God friended me, where we're saying real life situations, and this happens. I have guy friends who've straight up gone homeless. Wow. And sure, they've been able to work their way out of it. But this is a real thing, especially in LA. People come here to fulfill their dreams and they have expectations and things happen. And so this is a homeless father and son, but they're making their way. It is very much like The Pursuit of Happiness. So what do we think about this new friend request and, you know, the like moment on the train and the fun that Miles and them are having and then the friend request hits. What do you guys think about the need for this assistance from the God friend in between?
I know it's TV, but it's always so hilarious to me because I'm like, okay.
You're predicting.
In New York, on a train of 8 million people.
Yeah.
Fine, you got the friend request, but he's running out to try to catch him, and the doors close. Oh, my God.
Ding, so ding, then ding. It's like,
how are you going to find this one man in a city of 8 million people? And I kind of wish that they'd show, like, him looking for him. Like, going through his, like, stats on Facebook. Because, clearly, nowadays with social media, it is easy to find people because people tell on themselves.
And they check in.
I wish they would show that kind of how they did with Kara on the first episode where, oh, she checked into the cycling. Because I'm like, the next scene, they're just sitting in the diner.
Restaurant.
And they're there. And they're like, oh, they have such a great relationship. And I'm like, So that's my only critique about the episode, this one, guys. But for real, I'm like, I want to see some of that again. Like, the whole investigative.
Make it a little realistic.
A little more realistic on how you find people. I know it's TV, guys, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've lived in New York, so we know how it goes.
Yeah,
it's like, I've seen great people on the train, too, like, but like, dang.
I'm like, oh, it's easy to find my man. He get off on this bus. I'm following it.
And I mean, there are good New Yorkers, granted, but it's like, he found him. He paid for his car. He let some strange man and his son sleep in his house. Like, he went above and beyond Good Samaritan. Then it made me question, like, okay, is the fact that he got this offer for the podcast giving him even more, like, I gotta guarantee the success story. Like, I gotta guarantee. So I'm questioning Miles's kind of objective and if he's blurring the lines a little bit.
That's good, because I thought about that when he was already late for the job interview, and then he steps in and do something that I'm not sure. I never heard if it's illegal, but it seemed like it was pretty illegal to pretend that you're somebody else.
Yes.
So when he did that, I was just like, first of all, you're overstepping your boundaries. Once again, I felt that was unnecessary for you to do so. And I was just kind of just like, just let it be. Like, if it's meant for him, it's going to work out like it did. But I just felt that a lot of things he did was unnecessary. And that makes me question his objectives as well. So I got to agree with you.
Right.
That's really good. Because when I just off bat, when I think about God and the way things happen and timing being divine, I guess that would kind of miss the mark just a little bit. On like, okay, if this really is a... Well, but you know what? Miles doesn't believe in God.
But here's the other thing, though.
So, if you, never mind.
But here's the other thing. If God has... Like, if the God account has done this, like, what, we're on episode 17 now. So this is the 17th time it's happened. Why would he question it if he's had a successful track record and nothing that's, like, slipped the cracks? Why would he reconsider housing this strange person in his house when 16 other times everyone was innocent?
You're right.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense. He has complete faith in the God account now. So that's, like, just my devil's advocate.
So which reminds me, which is interesting, because his faith is in the God. He can find faith in the God account, but he can't find faith in God.
Glory.
Well, can we just talk about that?
Well, it's because it's facts, though. Like, you know that it's a person behind it.
But what kind of facts, though?
That's what I'm saying. It's a person behind it. He knows that it's not this God that's making it up.
That's what I'm saying. God behind the God account.
But does he? Because we're still talking about, is it Simon Hayes? Is it this person? Is it that person? They don't really know. We'll talk about Rakesh and the trail he's on, but I could just think about my personal life, and I, you know, at the top of the year, I was like, you know what? My goal is to have a deeper relationship with God.
Amen.
And of course, when you make a declaration like that, you'll see all kind of hell flood in.
Come on.
And so when hell floods in, you have to start making decisions and moving differently. And I feel like when it comes to Miles, at the same time, like, yeah, like, how is it that he can put so much... Because I feel like I can do that, right? If somebody tells me... If some guy walks up to me, right, and it's like, I own a company. I'm about to do this, that, and the other. I want you, and you're hired in 2 weeks. I'm hype. But if I get a feeling in my spirit, oh, things are going to be okay. Just give it a little time, a couple of weeks. Why do I have a harder time believing that than somebody humanly walking up to me and being like, this, and that? So this is a real question for Miles. It's like, how do you have faith in the randomness of the God account, but you don't have faith in God?
Because it's not random.
And it's experience. I mean, but, and it's repetitive.
What? It's not random. They know that everything is connected, and they just haven't figured out the connection.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing could be said for God, too, but it just depends on your perspective that nothing is, like, there is a pattern.
I can't wait for predictions.
I don't know.
Yeah, how about we say that to prepare predictions?
So much to talk about.
Man. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I would love if you just can you touch on the overall right now? Because that's a real thing. If he's going to be the millennial atheist, millennial prophet, I'm sorry, and he's an atheist, it's just kind of like... I definitely don't want to get lost on that point. And that just came to my brain right now. I'm like, well, dang, you are falling all the way. When a friend request comes in, you dive in like it's the end all be all. Mm-hmm. But what is the disconnect between that and the real connection?
It's here's the thing with faith. Faith is the belief in things not seen.
Hebrews 11. And here we go. 11:1.
Hebrews 11. How would you memorize that?
Because there's something that you practice when you read it enough times.
When you got it, you gotta remind yourself. Hold on to.
Remind
yourself.
You're like
4:37 to 1:30. The hope for things are unseen.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to say it one more again. Faith is the belief in things unseen.
Unseen.
And Miles can't put his faith on things he hasn't seen. Yeah. He can only put his faith on things he's seen. And so that's why it's easier to put faith on things that are tangible, things that I can see. It's a lot harder to put your faith in someone you've never met, although I don't believe God is a person. Yes, and
of course,
how can I put my faith in this entity, this thing that's bigger than me, that I have no access to, I've never seen it,
no proof.
How do I? And that's a lot of people in the world. So again, that's what I love about this show, that it really gives so much. Hopefully, someone who watches the show that's going through the same thing will hopefully be triggered in this way. Like, huh, I am having a lot of faith in these things. And here's the thing. Things are temporary, and we can't take them with us when we leave. And here, my mom always said, it's better to be doing this just in case God is real.
Yeah, okay.
Than me not do it, and then I'll get to the afterlife and find out God is real. And there's
and
some consequences.
Can I add on to that? Because please. I always say, like, when people be like, that don't make no sense, you believe in God, blah, blah. But I'm just like, everything God has, he stands for, you know, empathy, love, hope, just all this great stuff, giving people chances, forgiveness, it's grace. Nothing negative, it's grace. So it's just like, God forbid if God, I'm going to say God forbid if God ain't real, so what? It just made me a better person. He's never said, oh, confront her.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're also saying, like, atheists aren't bad people. And by the way, I'm not an atheist. I do believe in God. But, you know, you can have all those things, empathy, kindness, good morals, be a good person, and not believe in God. Are you going to go to hell?
No.
That's what you're saying.
I never
said anybody would go to hell.
No, not that, but I mean... Not that part.
Yes, I need to switch it up.
I can't.
You have to send
it. I just meant the fact that if you're following God's word and like, doing good things, who is it hurting?
Yeah.
Because you're giving grace. You're giving
That's all I'm saying.
That's what you were
so
saying.
So, you know, but I'm saying when I make it to the pearly gates, dab. Thank you, job well done, Rochelle. I'm in that thing. Now, God forbid, if it's just whatever is dark now. Okay, I was a good person while I was
here. Well, here's the thing. God judges us by the heart, by the fruit.
Heart posture.
So the reality is there are atheists going to heaven and there are Christians going to hell. Point blank, period.
I love
that. Yes, I said
it's the reality.
But the reality is that he's not sitting here taking a tally and a score on how many times you went to church and did you tithe. And it's about, again, where's your heart and your humanity? Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can be an atheist like Miles and do good in the world and still get to the gates. That's just my belief.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I agree that it's if believing in God helps me have a moral compass and helps me stay accountable in terms of integrity, then why knock anybody for that?
Thank you.
Is why I don't knock Muslims, Jews.
Come on.
It doesn't matter where you come from. If you believe in something that helps guide you to be integrous and to love on people, you're good with me. No one deserves to die for just loving on a God bigger than themselves. And so, I know we're talking about the show, but I pray for all the people that died in New Zealand. No one deserves to die for what they believe in.
Absolutely. God, I agree with that heart. Ooh, I need a minute. Ooh,
that was a lot. Let's talk about Carla Miles and that kiss.
Jeez, man. So I know the show opened with them. Yeah. Man, so I know the show opened with them talking about the date between Kara and Miles. And I know last week I really had an issue with it. I really couldn't sit with that kiss, y'all. I mean, the whole awkwardness of the dating, the kissing, it was just very weird. But now that we're warmed up, I'm a little more here for it now. I think I just needed a minute. So how are we feeling about Miles and Kara's relationship and the date and how things are moving along? I mean, I'm just saying, I want to know how y'all feel. I'm feeling a little bit more better about it now. I needed to be warmed up to it just because personally last week I was feeling out like they did miss their window.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see no more windows. I was like, okay, well, they're just cool now. There's this, that, and the other going on. And when they kissed, it was awkward for me. But now when they're together, I'm like, okay, this kind of makes sense. I can see it. I get it. I'm here for it. It's kind of cute. What are you guys thinking?
I'm on board now. Also, you have to keep in mind that Kara and Miles were being weird. Like, they were being
so weird.
So, like, I get why you wouldn't be on board with it. But now they're acting the way they have in the past, just, like, a little bit more flirtatious. There's, like, a sexual undertone, and she's cheekier. She's not being weird anymore. Like, she was
She is being weird.
She was so, like, before she was, like, so proper and kind of, like, oh, I'm just gonna, like, monitor every behavior, and I'm gonna sit this way, and I'm gonna do this. But, yeah. Now she's more relaxed.
So, Rochelle, you said she is being weird. What did you think was weird about her behavior?
Just that she was secretive, you know? That was something that was huge. That I feel like they're still building their foundation. Yes, they are friends, but now we're stepping up to the next level, foundation number two.
Ooh.
But, it's now being built on lies. You lied, and I don't like no liar.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. We could go ahead and dive into that. What do you feel about the relationship, Francella? Do you like it? How are you feeling?
I knew it was coming, so that's not my problem. I have predictions about how this
you do
relationship is going to take a left turn, which we can talk about in predictions. But you know this whole lunch with her editor in chief, and like you said, the lying. Like, relationships are built on communication and truth, and I get it. Truth is hard. It's hard to tell people the truth, and people lie out of fear. A lot of people make decisions based on fear and afraid of how someone's going to respond, afraid of hurting someone, afraid of being rejected.
Right.
Like, so many decisions are made out of fear, but fear does not, you know, really help you get to the result that you want.
Wow.
And so you're making these decisions based on fear, and you're gonna end up running into exactly what you're afraid of.
That's some good
stuff. Hey, I can't deny that one. And it looks like both of them, you know, Miles and Kara, are moving forward in their careers. Like, we have the editor-in-chief all up in Kara's business. We have Miles being hit with the, you know, Freeverse podcast. What do we think about their careers moving forward? But yeah, like you said, the secrecy and this fear, there's that, but then there's also them moving forward. Like, how do we feel about the movement of their relationship and their careers, like, kind of like all at once?
It's a conflict of interest, as far as I'm concerned.
She did point that out the moment, because she was like, that's BS, when the editor-in-chief told her, the podcast with, what was it called? Freeverse. They had told Miles that they want, you know, that they're the only one who want to talk about the God Friend of Me account. So no one else should be talking about it. Hence, you know, Mamacita, who is his girlfriend now, or whatever they're doing.
Right.
You know, I don't know what that is, but,
yeah,
you know.
They didn't. Right.
There's no title here. We're in some gray
areas.
That's
another thing. We haven't even talked about that.
I feel some type of way about that.
Because if her Obu come back, or he, if DJ come back,
technically, no one's in a relationship.
And here's the other thing. What should her priority be? Like, should her priority be being completely open and honest with Miles, who she's just dating? Or should it be to be a good journalist, which means telling a story that needs to be told because you want to tell the truth at all costs.
What's important
to you? And
I
think you can do both. I just think that she's being, like, weirdly shady, because why not just go to Miles and be upfront and be like, hey, this is what happened. I've been offered X, Y, and Z to talk about this, but I'm not going to talk about the story without your permission because you're the one who gave me this opportunity.
Come on, Mina!
You know what I mean? Like, that would be the ethical thing to do. I don't understand why she's holding it back. Like, that's weird to me. Like, I just feel like
that's weird to us.
It's just like, it's not genuine. Or, like, maybe she just wants to not, like, I don't even understand. Like, bring it up even if you think he's going to be upset. You didn't do anything wrong. Why wouldn't you bring it up? Unless you have the intention.
Right.
Unless you have the intention of doing something that's going to catapult you.
Back to Sally. Fear. Come on. Fear of how people react. Fear of what's going to happen. And at the end of the day, that conversation is still going to be made whether she wants it or not.
Yeah.
Whether it's now or later, it's going to be a conversation.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think she's not even bringing it up, though? I don't get it.
Because she's trash.
No shade. No shade. We love Kara, but sometimes her character does some shady things.
Oh my god, I can't.
Yeah. Some real shady things.
There's something about the episode I didn't understand. I don't know if you guys picked up on it. There was something about a bone marrow. Like, I didn't understand what was. Do you remember that?
Oh, the connection.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
I didn't get that.
So Rakesh has been spending the entire episode trying to figure out, you know, how Simon Hayes is connected to Miles, everyone. Because it's like, how did he choose, you know, Miles? Why did he choose Miles? And of course, the first line of defense is like, it has to be his dad and something to do with his dad, which I still believe. Yes, and after having a conversation with Reverend Finer, he's like, it's not about why they chose the person, but the people that the person has helped. So, like, oh, the friend suggestions. So the very first friend suggestion from episode one, John Dove, who was Miles's mom's surgeon, apparently did a bone marrow transplant surgery on Simon Hayes. So he saved Simon Hayes's life.
So there's a connection right there.
So my prediction is that.
Are we going to do predictions right now?
I
think it would be great for you to share what you're thinking.
It's
so
a
please.
Good segue.
Yeah. Go ahead. I just think
in this area, my prediction is that bone marrow is from Miles's mom.
Ooh.
Because Miles's mom died.
Okay, then that's
But don't
deep.
You have to be alive to give your bone marrow?
At the time, but the which time. John Dove was there at the time of her being alive, so. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Is Francesca a writer on the show? Because
okay, I'm not gonna lie. I've been looking at her like she's been flying back and forth to New York, and she wanna pop up, and then she be bop bop, and I'm like,
and all my predictions come true.
Right. So I'm looking at you. I would have been fired like, though.
If I was a writer on the show and I'm divulging this kind of information, I'd be fired.
Right. Okay. So we're gonna jump into that because I think that is amazing. But before we like kind of dive into that more, let's just quickly touch on the bishop and him being reluctant to dive into that. First of all, I love me some Allie. Allie don't play. She is just very much, she's so real. Yeah. I just love her character. And even though sometimes she doesn't have a huge shining point, her words always resonate, you know, throughout the show. And she's just very real, solid, grounded. She's a therapist. She's moving toward, you know, psychology and everything that she's doing. She's always on point. What do we think about Reverend Finer being a little bit reluctant? I think it's kind of cute and it's sweet and endearing. And I think he's, obviously he got over it, but I'm just like, what do we think about that situation with him being a little bit like, oh, I don't know if this is something I'm really going to do, especially if they're going to put this, and this boundaries
that
on me.
That was so annoying. I'm sorry. I got so annoyed with that thing. Because it just, like, you have so much wisdom. You're so wise. Like, you know, you have your entire life together. And the thing that is going to prevent you from, like, a dream career that's going to help so many people is the fact that, oh, you can't talk about your daughter being gay?
No, I think it was pretty awesome because that's the main thing that happens, you know, if a kid, you know, everybody know the PK kids are some kids.
Right.
I'm not going to speak on that because I'm not a PK kid. But you know, they have like stigma.
Right.
Right. Me too. So it's just like, I think he was trying to prove because him and Miles been through so much. Him and Ali have always been babies. So he's just like, y'all my babies and we've come so far. We got each other.
I'm not about to turn my back now.
Exactly. Right. So I thought that was really pretty awesome because
I get that, but that, yeah. this isn't like Hillary Clinton running for office and like having all of her dirty laundry.
I think he's like the Bishop of New York degree, or something. Yes.
To become the Bishop of New York, it is a political. I mean, like with anything, being prom queen, president, like there's kissing babies and shaking hands that you got to do and go to certain events and for people to get to know you so they can vote for you. Yep. So there's this whole board of people from all these different churches that need to say yes to him going to the next level. And that's what they're saying. Like, you're going to go into these rooms. They're going to ask you these questions.
And you're not going to crucify me and my babies.
And
you know, that's easy for them to be like, you want to be a pastor, but you got a child. Come on now. Like, I get you feeling it, but some people don't know how to say those things, especially in the church. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye. You need to worry about
your plank in your own.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but let's talk about it after.
If there is a speck in your, if you could see the speck in someone else's eye, focus on the plank. In yours.
That's cute.
Plank.
Okay. Yeah.
So a plank versus a speck is like, why you sitting up there scrutinizing at that little thing, you gotta squeeze your eyes at that little speck. You got a plank.
Right.
It's like, I think it's like there's another saying, like, don't judge someone else as if your, like, crop doesn't stink, too. Like, it's kind of like that. Like, you know.
That's cute.
You have your own thing. Everyone has something.
But I feel you, too. I think that is, it's just like, don't let something, you guys could just talk about it. But I do think that that I respect that as a father.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So, you know what? This is really great. We wrapped up the episode so well. And there were so many things here. I love Ben Evans. There was so much going on. So, thank you guys so much for your feedback. And now let's just have a quick moment to talk God Speaks and run by a couple of things that we've seen on social media. This is our special segment where we see where God has spoken to us through social media. So, because we're running out of time, I'm just going to read this quickly. It just disappeared. Let's start with Francelli while mine comes back up.
So, the current energy of Mercury in retrograde is calling for you to embrace your raw emotions. This is a period of radical self-acceptance. Don't attempt to reject any negative thinking. There is divinity in those thoughts, too.
Ooh.
Instead, become an observer. Uncover the root of why they exist and then release them. These cycles are repeated so that you can expunge something each time and become lighter and lighter as you go.
I love that, which kind of piggybacks.
It makes sense that Mercury's in retrograde, though.
Yeah, that is so fire.
That's exactly
what's going on. So, all of you guys watching, I want you to rewind this and re-listen to that and really absorb it. Because we're moving quickly over here, but I don't want you to miss that. And what I have kind of piggybacks off that. But it says, this is from Jade Everett, a friend of mine. The point of process is to teach you to remember who you are in each moment. Mm-hmm. You have a choice. In every moment, you either choose to act in your lower self, your old ways, or you can choose a new path and act out of your higher self. The growth process reinforces the power of choice.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be another one. It's just that same thing. I don't want to delve into it, but I think just hearing it, you guys can kind of make your own assessment. What do you have, Mina?
Okay, so I'm going to go with Joe Morton again. I feel like we need a Joe Morton speaking segment here. But I love what he says when he says, why is it if you're homeless but looking for work, your children can be taken away from you because you're a risk to their safety, and somehow separating you from your children is better. This gargantuan social legal dragon needs to be annihilated. # Godfriend in me. And he also wrote social and political catch-22s hold our marginal population in a net of general poverty, unemployment, and homelessness. So, yeah, that was like...
Thank you for sharing that.
It was so frustrating to watch that this episode. Like, how people, like, especially communities of color, are kept down because of the way our systems of oppression work. Like, how are you going to climb up when you're already here?
Can't get a job without a home.
How are you going to do
that? Can't get a home without a job.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
It is. Yeah. It really is. It's like... It's sad. Or, like, if you try to get your kid into a better school...
And you lie, and about, lie about your address,
like, you're going to jail, but meanwhile...
$50,000!
Full house girl and other it's people are, like, you know, getting their kids into the best colleges, and that's fine. George Bush goes to Yale, that's fine, that makes sense.
Shout out to Godfriend and Me for pointing out issues that are important. Yeah. Thank you for reading that. Joe Morton, author, finer, Papa... Papa Pope.
He has the best gems.
So. Yeah, for sharing that, because it's a real thing, and I hope this show continues to shed light on issues that are very important. Rochelle, did you have something that you wanted to share?
We're going
to
skip me for this week.
Okay, no problem.
We're running out of time.
Yeah, no, this is great, and that's a really important issue, so Mina, thank you for sharing that. Again, please rewind what Francelli said and what I said, because there is something deeper in that both, but you know, we're moving kind of quickly here. And before we get out of here, we just have a few predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, Francelli, I love what you said about the bone marrow possibly be like that's kind of mind blowing, but yeah, it's like, do you write for God, Friend, and Me, Girl?
You know, I got another prediction. You know, this conflict of interest, I think that. You know, this editor-in-chief wants her to write a story about Miles. This podcast wants him to have exclusivity. So I think that this conflict of interest is going to be their first fight and or the reason they break up.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I got.
That's good. I'm not mad at that.
Girl. Girl, I have Miles written down somewhere down here.
That's done.
Basically, I don't know. I think Rakesh is going to have a whole mood change. I think that talk that he had, like, not believing that he was genuinely deserving of the opportunities that's happening. So I think as a prediction of as of him, I feel like he's going to be moving and talking a little differently because he deserves everything he has, and I have a little crush on him.
Oh, he cute. He cute.
Rakesh. Hey, I was watching Happy Death Day yesterday. Number two, and he's in it.
He's cute. I ain't mad either. I'm not mad.
Hey, Rakesh. What about you guys? What predictions do you have?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Henry Chase and Simon Hayes are going to cross paths, and it's going to be awkward.
That is my other prediction. The editor-in-chief is Henry Chase.
Yeah.
You think I was going to say that, but I feel like he was going to say it.
But they ended the episode this week saying that it's for sure Simon Hayes.
What? You know they always lie to us.
They're always lying.
You know what? I'm going to roll with my panel on this one because they have some wonderful predictions and... Yeah, I'm pretty much on board with all of that. I don't think I have anything outside of that that I could think of off top. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you next week, same time, same place. So please join in. We love the discussion when you guys make comments and everything. So please let us know what you thought about this episode. And we will see you Sunday next week after God Friended Me. And I'm your host, Jamie Alexander. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
Hey everyone, Mina here. You can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
Your favorite Afro-Latina, Francelli, at all things at Selly Hang Out.
And I am your host, Rochelle, and you guys can always find me on Instagram at RoachBaby. That's RoachBaybee.
Hey.
Bye, y'all.
See you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.